Nehemiah chapter 8. If you have a Scofield Bible, page 549. Does that help you? Anybody? All right, very good. Last week we talked about Ezra. Remember Ezra? Ezra was responsible for building... Are we good? Give me a little. All right, Ezra was responsible for building the temple. Very good. Nehemiah is responsible for what? What did we learn about Nehemiah? Building the walls around Jerusalem. So first we saw last week, they built the altar, immediately making sacrifices. Then they finished the temple. The foundations were laid. Tremendous story. A lot of confrontation. Nehemiah, same type of burden in his heart. He gets funding and the okay to put the walls around the city of Jerusalem. What was significant about the walls? Well, the walls were protection. The walls were protection. Certainly all the things that were inside of the temple, we read that last week and saw all the gold and all the silver and all the things. Certainly need to lock that stuff up or at least protect it. So they did that. And here Nehemiah, the walls are built. But I want to read this passage because it really hinges on what we were talking about a little bit last week. If you weren't here last week, it's okay. You'll be able to jump right in. No troubles with that. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. Different water gate, Brother Parrott. All right. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe. So here we're referencing the person that we talked about last week. The book before Nehemiah, Ezra. Now the Bible tells us that he has this job here. We're going to see this multiple times in the passage, actually. Ezra the scribe. So Ezra responsible for helping with the building of the temple. Nehemiah with the walls up. Now they come together and he's invited Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest, say, is that different? No, same guy. Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, before men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. They didn't have to be able to read. They didn't have to be... If you could hear and understand what you're hearing, well... I don't know what cross-section that would cut out in our society today. But at least if you were to the age of understanding, show up in the street, he says. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday before the men and women. And those that could understand and the ears of the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe, look at now. Verse 4, and Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood, and we have a list of names, jump down to verse 5. Not that the names aren't important, but, well, verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. And he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood. And Ezra blessed the Lord and the great God, and all the people answered, Amen. Amen. Isn't that good? It sounds like church. Guy stands up, opens up the Word of God behind a pulpit of wood, and the people shouted, Amen, as he read. Wow, that sounds great. Sounds like a place I would fit right in. All the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this passage. Thank you for recording it for us. It could have happened in history and you never would have put it down and we never would have known. Lord, I'm thankful that you recorded it and Lord, I believe it's in there for our benefit. Lord, as we look at it, Lord, help us to see ourselves in the passage and Lord, maybe we could imagine ourselves as one of those on the street in front of the water gate that day. And as the Word of God is open, that we too are listening with attentive ears, trying to understand. Lord, help us. Help us here today to revere your Word. Lord, help us to hold this book in our hands as something special from you. Lord, help us to appreciate the Word of God. Lord, we love you today. As I said before, Lord, I love you with all my heart. Lord, forgive me for failing so often. Lord, I look to you to be with us here today. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, what a great passage of Scripture as we read. Maybe we can even see ourselves in the street that day as Ezra the scribe. What an interesting job. I don't know if you're familiar with scribes. We don't really have scribes these days. Why? Because we have computers and typing ability. So we don't need that. But there was certainly a very important time for the scribe. Listen to this statistic. 92% of Americans own a Bible. And the average household has three. But fewer than half Americans can name the first book of the Bible. One third of people know who delivered the Sermon on the Mount. After Jesus, you know who the most common answer was? Billy Graham. Number one best-selling book of all time, Bible. It's tough to get statistics on how many Bibles have been sold. They pretty much skip over the Bible. If you read any statistics about Bible publishing or anything of that, they just say it's the most published and most distributed book of all time. But because so many churches give them out freely, it's tough to track them. So they say there's estimated close to 5 billion Bibles that have been distributed. Bible, best-selling book of all time, and yet the least read book. Here, Ezra, the priest and scribe, You know, years ago we built this building. It's neat when people come in and they haven't been here for a while and they ask about how new this building is. When did you build this? And we start telling numbers. And 15 years ago, 16 years ago. Where's Rebecca? It was Rebecca when she was little. Just born, right? I think it was at the same time. She was probably 7 then, right? 6 or 7? I say 15 years. Are we close with 15 years? Brother Sutliff says yes. Walking through and they're like, wow, this is nice. How old is 15? 15 years doesn't look 15 years. And I remember being in this building, there was nothing up, and Jay Landers had this weird machine that sat right here, and we had these giant gas lines, and we're cutting them to size. So all behind here, all these plumbing things, Greg Klubeck's running lines all over the place. He's showing us how to hook up electrical without killing ourselves. I so appreciate Brother Stephen Higgin going around installing outlets on Saturday mornings. You know, to some, this building means a lot because some of the things are put up by our own hands. I have pictures of Tony Seda building the first Learning Center desks, working on that in those rooms. Remember Jeff Barton? Remember him painting this place? I lost my salvation over that one. The whole place was yellow. Remember yellow? Tiles. To some, they actually had a hand in building this building. This is a special building to some people. So why are you saying that? Ezra the scribe, there he is. He opens up the book of the law. And please understand the role of the scribe. The scribes could only use pristine animal skins, both to write on and even to bind the manuscripts. The ink used had to be black and of a very unique and special recipe. Listen now. Each column of writing could have no less than 48 and no more than 60 lines on it. The scribes had to verbalize each word aloud while writing. Imagine that. and the, right? They had to wipe the pen and wash their entire bodies before writing the word God. Every time they came to the word Lord, they would have to wash their entire body and wash out their pen. They had to be a peer review done within 30 days. And if as many as 3 pages required corrections, the entire manuscript had to be redone. The letters, words, and paragraphs had to be counted, and the document became invalid if 2 letters touched each other. The middle paragraph, word, and letter must correspond to those of the original document. If they counted over and down, and a different letter was there than on the other one, the whole thing was shot. And the documents can only be stored in sacred places. So when Ezra the scribe stands up, and look at what's given to him. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1. How do you think Ezra held that book? I wonder how many times Ezra had to wash. I wonder if it was actually penned by him. And there he opens it. Oh, can I say this? He had reverence for God's word. That word meant something to him. He had invested a lot into the word of God as a scribe, just by job himself. We use that word revere. What does that mean? It means to regard with fear mingled with respect and affection. Let's say that again. As Ezra revered the word of God, it meant that he had this fear, but yet mingled perfectly with respect and love for the word of God. Let me keep your hand in. Well, I guess you can turn, but Hebrews chapter 11. Go there quickly. I want to show you this quick thought. This morning's message is the revered word of God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 says this. By faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet. Remember Noah, right? Okay. What was going to happen? It was about to rain. God's judgment upon the earth was about to happen. And the Bible says this. And Noah was moved with fear in verse 7. That's respect to the words of God. So why was Noah building an ark? Because God told him to. And he feared the Lord. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, and by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Go to chapter 12 of the same book and verse 28. I just want to show you use of this word. There we saw the word fear. In chapter 12 and verse 28, it says, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with what? Reverence and godly fear. So those two words are almost, I know they're spelled differently and things, but have similar meaning. To fear the Lord and to have reverence for Him. Very similar. Almost, as we would say, interchangeable. Now go over to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Just so you get the understanding of when Ezra approaches the street, standing upon the pulpit of wood with the law of Moses, and everybody that could hear and understand is standing before him on the street that day in front of the water gate, there was a reverence for the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Say, what would that look like? What does that mean? I don't understand. How would I revere the word of God? And Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 18. Here's a example. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house. Say, why would anybody do that? Because they revered the word of God. Because the word of God was important to them. Therefore, they taught their children. Therefore, they bound it upon their head. Therefore, they committed it into their hearts. And when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Hey, what does it look like when a person reveres the word of God? It means that they constantly give attention to it. That means that they're reviewing it in their heads, that they're talking about it with their friends, that they're sharing it with their family. And verse 20, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates. Thank you to Hobby Lobby for making this possible. You walk into people's houses today and signs are now popular. Wallpapers out, blank walls with signs on it. Pictures of family, but scripture signs. Hey, if you're a Christian, I would hope that it would be known that when someone walks into your house, that there's evidence that the Word of God is important to you somewhere. There ought to be a Bible out somewhere. There ought to be a scripture verse somewhere. That's what happens when we revere the Word of God. It ought to be talked about at the table. It ought to be shared with the children. It ought to be in your heart. You ought to be thinking about it when thou sittest down and when thou risest up. What's the last thing you talked about last night? What was the first thing you thought about this morning? And I'll tell you what you revere. I'll tell you what's important to you by the things you discuss. God will show you exactly who you are by the things you think about, the things you talk about, the things you meditate upon. You walk into a teenage boy's room and there's pictures of Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott and maybe Tony Romo and all of these famous Dallas Cowboys football players. And you say, football must be important to this young man. Why? And the evidence is all over the wall. You talk to him and say, back in the first time they beat the Bills in the Super Bowl. And then the second time, and you're talking about all those things. And they're constantly talking about it. Why? Because it's something important to them. How about your conversations? Do you revere the Word of God? Of course I revere the Word of God. Look at my Bible. I carry it. I brought it this morning. That's great. Let me ask you, do you? 92% of Americans own a Bible. The question is, do we revere the Bible? The nation of Israel just spent 70 years in captivity in Babylon, not hearing their own language even. Remember when they got there, what happened? They changed their names. They taught them a new language. They taught them a new way. And now here they are out back in their homeland. They look around and you know what they see? They see the walls of Jerusalem up again. They look, although we talked about this a little bit in our Sunday school class, although the temple may look a little bit different than what Solomon had built, a temple is built. And there they are standing in the streets. Some 43,000 people available for that. And Ezra stands up, again, 70 years in captivity. Why were they in captivity? Because of their disobedience to the words of God. Not hearing the law of God in their own language. Could you imagine if we said this morning, hey, meet here at sunrise, 6 a.m., we're going to read till noon the Old Testament law. Who'd show up for that? Maybe a couple. Maybe a few. I might not. I don't know. Get me into the epistle. They revered the word of God. Imagine 70 years not hearing the word of God being read. So what happens when Ezra stands up? There he is behind the pulpit of wood. Ezra the scribe is given the law of God, and here he brings it upon the pulpit of wood. Some, maybe possibly 40,000 people standing in front of him. And for the first time in 70 years, the law is going to be publicly read. I think there was a tear in someone's eye. Maybe over sorrow, maybe over joy. The Bible says this, that when he read the book of the law, that they stood. No one said, hey, the law is being read. Stand up. Ezra didn't get up and say, all right, let's all stand for the reading of the... Why? Because they revered the word of God. There was no prompting. There was no instruction. They just revered the word. So this morning, quickly, do we revere the word of God? Normally we end with the practical application, but this morning we're going to start with it. Say, what does it mean to revere the word of God in my life? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, I'll read it to you. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Study what? The word of God. Do you read the Bible? Do you study the Bible? There's a difference. Say, aren't those words the same? No. There's one thing to study something. There's another thing to just read it. Do you read it? Do you study it? Do you take notes on sermons as the Lord speaks to you? Not because of the great order, but so you don't forget what God spoke to you about. Friday night, we went to Pastor Perdicone's church. And a guy, Brian Beck, never heard him before, and he preached. He's a pastor in New Hampshire. He's the son-in-law to brother Vince Massa. And he had this point on, I don't know what the Lord spoke to them or to everyone about. We brought 14, 15 people. But he had a point on the wilderness that was excellent. Man, I was looking for a pen to write some things down. Why? Because the Lord spoke to my heart. I didn't want to forget it. If we walked in here this morning and we asked, what was last week's sermon about? Maybe you'd remember. 2 weeks ago. Oh. 3 weeks ago. What was 3 years' theme? Hey, if I'm going to revere the Word of God, I ought to give some special attention to it. Maybe take notes as you read your Bible. Maybe write down some questions. Maybe even write down some answers. I've been praying about this, and God showed me the answer. That was a great testimony this morning from Brother Rice. He was praying and saying, God, will you show me that you love me today? And Pastor Seatman gets up in prayer meeting yesterday morning and shows him 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, where God loves man. Anybody else getting this? What happened? You just answered my prayer. All of a sudden, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 became incredibly special to Brother Rice. So practically, do we revere the Word of God? Do we read it? Do we study it? Do we take notes on it? Do we write down our questions? Do we write down our answers? Do we pray for direction and wisdom? Psalm 25:4 says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in the truth and teach me. Do we pray to God for wisdom, instruction? John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Do we pray and ask God, Lord, help me to remember some of the messages that I heard. Lord, help me remember the things that you talked to me about. Do we revere the Word of God, practically speaking? on a daily basis. If I asked you, do you love the Bible? Well, sure, of course. And if God says, when was the last time you read it? Well, that, last Sunday. We ought to give attention to it every day. I just saw when Nehemiah came out and he gave Ezra the book and he stands there and I'm just thinking of all the circumstances and he opens it up and he reads it and all the people stood from morning till midday. There was a reverence for his word. Practically speaking, do we do that? Practical application. Secondly, Psalm 33. Psalm 33 and verse 8. Psalm 33 and verse 8, it says, let all the earth fear the Lord. We already said kind of that is a very similar thought and to revere. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. To revere the Word of God, number one, is to make practical application. Number two, magnification. Do we stand in awe of God? Or do we expect God to be in awe of us? God, look at all these great things I'm doing. Haven't I impressed you? No. I mean, I'm pleased. But do we stand in awe of Him? Psalm 138, look at this. This is great. Psalm 138. Psalm 138 and verse 1. Bible says this, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. I'm so glad he said that. Because I at least have a reference point to how important the name of God is. So how important is it? When the scribe would have to write the name of God, they would have to wipe out the pen entirely and wash their entire body. The name of God's important. The Bible says this in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We all know that. One day, all the elements are going to be wiped away and Jesus Christ is going to stand up and everybody drops to their face. And God says, that's where this is and this is where I put my word. Above His own name. To revere the Word of God is to put the utmost value and priority on the Word of God. Because that's what God even Himself has done. How important is the Word of God to you? How important, what role does the Word of God play in your life as you meander through life? Pastor, pray for me. I'm having a hard time reading. getting into a reading schedule. I understand. But is it maybe our heart that's the problem? In Nehemiah chapter 8, when they brought the word of God out, they all just stood. What happened? And the Bible says, then they fell on their faces and worshipped. As they were reading, that shrimp were unclean foods. The Lord spoke to them. As they were reading about the laws of oxen, the Lord spoke to them. Maybe as they were reading the history of the kings and they saw where they failed the Lord and went bad and their hearts were broken. They were but a generation away. They had been in captivity 70 years. Chances are really good they were one generation from knowing personally the people that lived in Israel. Let me ask you this morning. Have you magnified the Word of God where it ought to be? Or is it, hey, if I get time at the end of the day, or, you know, I've had a really busy day, do we start our mornings with it? Do we start our day with it? Do we read it at our lunch break? Do we read it with our families? Do we read it at the end of the night? Have we revered the Word of God? Have we magnified it like it shouldn't be? Do we put the utmost priority, the utmost value on it? That's a question really only you can answer. Number one, the practical application. Number two, the magnification. Number three, the submission to the Word of God. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 12. When we revere the Word of God, we find a way to make it apply to us. When we revere the Word of God, we find a way to make it a priority to us. When we revere the Word of God, we find a way to obey the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth and with all your heart. Serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you. That's sitting there thinking about it. When I rise this up, or when I lie it down, when I lay down at the end of the day, or we have a wood stove room. In our wood stove room, we have two nice comfy chairs that the dog is trying to take over, and there I'm sitting there, and do I think about the Word of God? Do I think about the things He has done for me? Do I obey the Word of God? Or is it just another book on our shelf? When I run in trouble, I know where to go. And it'll tell me, and it'll straighten me out. But do I revere it day to day? Do I revere it day to day? So how do I know? Do I obey it? Do I recognize that it is the truth? Philippians chapter 2. Go back there. Philippians chapter 2. We're almost done. In verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a... Philippians 2:15. Philippians 2:15 says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Look at now. Holding forth the word of life. Am I still on? Okay. Holding forth the word of life. What does that mean? Obedience. That I can live in this world in verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. As the world goes wicked and worse, I don't keep the standards based on what the world does, but according to the Word of God. I will not be measured against the world. I will be measured against God and His Word. And I won't be able to say, well, they were killing babies, and I didn't do that. And He says, yeah, but did you do this? Well, they were calling sin, okay, yeah, but you didn't obey me. Well, how was I supposed to? I wrote it down for you. As a kid, I remember waking up maybe Saturday morning to find the dreaded chore list sitting on the kitchen table. Dust. Anybody like dusting? Remember dusting? That used to be a lot more popular when I was a kid. Remember dusting? I hated dusting. I liked vacuuming. Just making all the lines go the same way and laundry and oh, you'd get up and, oh, there's the list. Mom would come home or, you know, she'd be at work or something, come home. Did you get the list done? And I had no excuse. It was written in her own handwriting. I didn't know, you know. Hey, did you do what you were supposed to do? I didn't know. I wrote it down. You just didn't care. You didn't revere the Word of God. It wasn't important to you. And that will be a fault on ours. And have I submitted to it? Have I obeyed it? James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Have I obeyed the word of God? We revere the word of God, and therefore we will obey it. We will make personal application. We will magnify it, and we will obey it. Lastly, Psalm 119. We're going to run through seven scriptures real quick. Psalm 119. As we revere the Word of God, there will be an application, there will be a magnification, there will be a submission, and then look at this, there will be an affection. Psalm 119, verse 47. All right, we're going to be in Psalm 119 for the rest of the... But we're going to look at a bunch of verses here. Psalm 119, verse 47. And I will delight myself in thy commandments. Look at what he says. Which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. When we revere the word of God, you know what? We love it. We want to spend time around it. We want to be in it. We want to know what it says. Why? Because we love it. Psalm 119, verse 97. It says this, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. What do you think about all day? You think about what you love. Is that the Word of God? Are you thinking about what you read that morning? Are you thinking about are you praying about your son or your daughter and you see where they're going and you know the truth of the Word of God and you just want to have an opportunity, liberty to discuss those things? Are you thinking about those things all day? May life interrupt our thoughts of God all day, not the thoughts of God interrupt life. Yes? Psalm 119, verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Verse 127. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Is that you? Verse 140. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Do we revere it? So how do I know? Do you love it? Last verse, 159. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Consider how I love thy precepts. I'm not saying that you love the ironed calfskin with the 1,400 pages. We don't. And I've seen people do weird things with their actual Bible. I have a headache, so I'm going to lay on it. It's not medicinal. It's not. Tonight we're going to be talking about the bomb of Gilead, all right? This is not that. Well, I'm not thinking right. I'm going to put the Bible underneath my pillow. I broke my leg. I'm just going to wrap it in scriptures. Stop it. It's the Word of God that's most important, not the 1,400 pages and leather bound. Careful, there's people that worship the Bible book. Now, I have a hard time. We're good. I have a hard time throwing two things out. A tattered flag. I don't know what you're supposed to do with it. And an old Bible. We'll find things around here and we'll find a Bible and it's missing Genesis through Kings. What are you going to do with this? It's missing half of it, yeah. Still has the gospel in it. I'll take it. I don't tell anybody, but I throw it away. Do we love the Word of God? Is it our interest? Is it our fondness? Is it our care? What we love, we spend time on. What we love, we think about. And if we revered the Word of God, we'd have affection toward the Word of God. Practical application. Do I read it? Do I study it? Do I take notes on it? Do I write my questions? Do I write my answers? Do I pray for direction and wisdom? Number two, do I magnify it? Is it a priority to me? Does it have utmost value? More than what the news says, more than what my friends think, do I consider what God says on it first and foremost? I don't care how candidates measure up to other candidates. How do they measure up against the Word of God? Do I obey it? Let me show you this. You said we were done in Psalm 119. I understand. Ezra. We just read this morning in our young adults class. It's not on my notes, so it's bonus footage. At the end of Ezra, what's happening is the nation of Israel is going to the people of the land and they're taking them for strange wives, which is one of the things that got them into captivity to begin with. And Ezra goes to them in verse 10 and says, "And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, Ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore, make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers and do His pleasure. Obey Him. And separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, As thou hast said, so must we do." Why? Because Ezra said, the scripture says, and they said, we're sorry. We'll adjust. So are you obeying the Word of God? And lastly, do you love the Word of God? Is there a heart connection between the voice of God and you? Let's all stand. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up Why? Because they revered the Word of God. How important is the Word of God to you today? What it says is of utmost value. More so than what you think, more so than your upbringing, what does the Bible say? Because it's what God thinks that is most important. Maybe you haven't been given attention to it like you should. Say, what happens when... Did you see there when we just read in Ezra chapter 10, you know what they did? They came, they confessed, said they're sorry, and then we'll fix it. If you're here this morning and you haven't revered the Word of God like you should, you haven't been obeying it, why don't you come confess that and tell the Lord you're sorry, and then go do it. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your Word. Lord, help us to revere it in our hearts. Lord, help us to consider it and make it an utmost priority. Lord, we love you, and because we love you, we love your book. Thank you for speaking to us. Lord, I ask you to bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?